make your Olam Haba. And we said it's not something that's external to what you've done, but it is exactly what you've done is the Olam Haba, right? And we discussed how when you think to do a mitzvah, immediately you make an impact in the higher worlds that are the root of that mitzvah. And then that comes down into this world and hovers around you and helps you complete the mitzvah. And then that spiritual energy goes back, waiting for you to enjoy it when you leave this world. Right? That's what we talked about. So he's trying to answer the question. If you remember, Ecclesiastes said, "Es kol ma'ase ha'elokim," right? All the actions, all your godly actions, God will bring to justice. And he asked, why doesn't it say, "Al kol ma'ase," upon every action? Right? Should be, he's going to judge upon. Why is he judging the action? So he's trying to bring out the idea, which he'll say at the end of the chapter. It's the action itself is what predicates the judgment and what will be the reward. Okay, so let's maybe just do that second paragraph now. Page Mem, fourth line from the top. V'zeo she'amar Razal, this is what our rabbi said. Kol Yisrael yesh lahem chelek la olam haba. Every Jew has a portion to the world to come. V'lo amru ba'olam haba. And it doesn't say ba'olam haba, in the world to come. Why? If it would say every Jew has a portion in the world to come, shemashmo, that the meaning would then imply ha'yesh olam haba u'muchan me'eis ha'briya inyon v'dar l'atzmo, would appear that olam haba, the world to come, is prepared me'eis ha'briya, from the time of creation, which is an inyon v'dar l'atzmo, an independent existence that's already there waiting for people to get in. And you'd think, if a person is righteous, he'll get a portion of it. But that's not what it says, because that's not what the truth is. The truth is, olam haba, the world to come, who it is, who ma'aseh yidei adam atzmo. It is the actual activities of man himself. Shehirchiv v'hothi v'hiskin chelek la'atzmo b'masov. That he has broadened and prepared a portion of it for himself from all the actions that he has done. Okay? So that's the concept that he has over there. He's saying you have a portion to the world to come, to that world that you are going to make. All right? And that's why we discussed at length last week. You can't share your Olam Haba with anybody. Right? Everybody makes their own Olam Haba. Lekach, therefore, Omar. So therefore the text says, Shekol Yisrael yesh lahem, every Jew has what? Lekol echad, each and every Jew has a chelek hakdusha, has a portion of the holiness, va'oras va'tzachtzachos, and the supreme lights that are sources of holiness, shehiskin v'hosiv olam haba, that everybody has the opportunity to prepare an increase to his world to come, imasav hatovim, from his good actions. Meaning the Mishnah is saying every Jew has the ability to build his own Olam Haba. That's what it means. Everyone has a chelek la Olam Haba. You have a portion in being able to build your Olam Haba. That's what every Jew has. Right? And if he's going to get there, it's because he made it. Right? So the actions, your actions build your Olam Haba, and that's where you belong. And that's where you're going to go to. Obviously, not every every Jew has a portion of the world to come. It's impossible not to have some kind of portion. It'd have to be like really, really terrible. But it's impossible. The truth is, there's certain levels of soul you can never really destroy. But it's clear that this is not said for all non-Jews. All non-Jews, you know, they have to do other things to get there. It's no guarantee that every non-Jew is going to make their Olam Haba. Obviously, they can make some kind of Olam Haba, and I really don't want to get into non-Jews tonight. But it's clear that the Jews have a much stronger guarantee to this point. Okay, let's go on to the next paragraph. Now, we've taken care of heaven. So now we go to the reverse. V'chein onesh ha-gehinom. And so is the punishment of gehinom. In yano gam kein. Its concept is the same thing. Shahachet atzmo hu ancho, that the sinful act itself, that is the punishment. Okay, when a person does something wrong, you bring in the opposite negative forces into the world. And by that process, so you premeditated to the act, and you've brought these impure forces into the world, those impure forces help you to finish up the action, and then they, similarly, ideas the mitzvah, but the opposite. They go off to the place where they come from. And when man leaves this world, he goes right to the mess he created by his actions. It's the exact same process. Now, let's just finish the paragraph. Kemosh Kosov, and these are the verses that support this idea. Avono Sav, his sins, Yilkedunu, trap him. The sins themselves trap him, as Harasha, the wicked man. Ubechevle Chatosa Yitomech, he'll be tied together with the ropes of his sin. Jeremiah says, Tiasrech Ra'asech, your evil will reprove you. Kemoshin is Boris, it's explained. Shekasher Ha'odam Osa Achas Mitzvah Hashem Asher Lo Tesen, if a person violates a negative command, Apkom, the blemish, Vachurban, and the destruction, Nirsham Chas V'Sholom, Tekev L'mala B'Shrasho, it makes its mark immediately above in the root worlds that are the sources of this. Okay? So you already make a negative impact. Now, so Peter wanted to know what Gehino meant.
Did I?
You asked at the end of last week's class.
But never mind, I'd be interested to know what it is.
You did ask
Gehino?
It.
How did
you
spell?
No? Somebody asked it.
In Hebrew?
Yeah, in Hebrew.
Why would I look it up if somebody didn't ask?
Okay.
Okay. So, so it's interesting, the Talmud first tells us, Talmud says there's seven names for Gehenom. Okay, I don't know if you really care to know the names. Sheol, Avadon, Be'er Shachas. Sheol means like a pit. Avadon means annihilation. Be'er Shachas, a well of destruction. Bor Sha'an, pit of turbulent waters. Tita Yavein, Mire, Tzalmoves, shadow of death. Eretz HaTachtis, the underworld. Okay, so the commentaries explain that these seven names, they correspond, first of all, to the seven levels of punishment. It's like an elevator going down. In other words, there's seven levels of depths that you can go down into. And the lowest is called Eretz HaTachtis, the underworld. Okay, there's also seven, the Yetzirah we know from a previous Parsha class has seven names. Okay, there's seven forms of the Yetzirah, so to speak, seven means of deception which you fall into, and each level is of a Gehenim is appropriate to which sins you've fallen into in that area. And then they bring a whole bunch of verses to the Talmud to prove you. There's verses in the prophets that refer to that place as such. So then the Gemara asks an interesting question. The Gemara says, are there no other names for Gehenim? You told me there's seven, but what about Gehenim?
Mm-hmm.
You said there's seven names for Gehenim, and they named seven, and Gehenim isn't one of them. Now, it doesn't say anywhere in the Torah, the Tanakh, the word Gehenim. Right? It's all the oral law tells us that this place that they're talking about, these seven names, is referring to Gehenom. So the Gemara says, well, the truth of the matter is, that Gehenim isn't really a specific, you see. These seven names are specific forms of it, okay? Gehenim is more of a descriptive name rather than a proper one. And the Gemara gives two answers. It says, Geh is a valley, a deep valley. So it's a valley that's as deep as this valley of Hinnom. There's if you go near Jerusalem, there is a place called the Gei Ben Hinnom. It's a very deep valley. And okay, the Talmud before, I don't really understand. It says there's three gates to Gehenim in this world, and one of them is near this valley of Gei Hinnom. But the main idea is trying to say it's as deep as this Hinnom valley that is near Jerusalem. So it's a kind of a descriptive name, but rather than a proper one, okay? But then it says another point, that everybody who descend into it have committed acts of Hinnom. Gei Hinnom. Hinnom means immorality. Therefore the name Gei Hinnom, the valley of immorality. Okay. And he goes, the commentators explain how he know means immorality. They go into all kinds of homiletic derivations of it. But basically, the idea is some, you know, it's a little bit difficult to understand this answer because, I mean, there are people who don't do immorality. But anyway, that's the general notion of where the term gay henom comes from. Then they start to discuss other names. But anyway, that at least you got some etymological roots to gay henom. Yeah?
Any relation to Azazel at all?
Not that I'm aware of. Not that I'm aware of. Oh, I'm sorry. It's Eruvin 19a. You test someone else. Okay, so that's a little bit about the name Gay Hinom. Okay, so let's go ahead. And he goes and says some other interesting ideas. So, Ula Umazeh, next paragraph, and with respect to this, there's a verse in Ezekiel that is very important here. It says, the verse in Ezekiel says, Imala hacharava, meaning to say that they shall be filled in her, Imala shall be filled in her, hacharava, that which is waste. She'll be filled with waste. Now, what does that mean? So if you look at the very bottom of the page, at footnote 84, tells us, the Gemara Megillah explains the following concept over here. It says like this, it's an analogy. Gemara says, you have Caesarea, Caesarea, that was that part in Israel that the Romans used as a fortress that was a representation of Rome, and Jerusalem, two cities. If someone tells you that both of them have been destroyed, don't believe him. If somebody tells you that they both are thriving metropolises at the same time, don't believe them. If somebody tells you that Caesarea is destroyed and Jerusalem is thriving, or the opposite, Jerusalem is destroyed and Caesarea is thriving, believe him. As it says, and it goes back to this verse in Ezekiel, Imala hacharava. The simple meaning is, she shall be filled, shall be filled in her that which is waste. But they play on the word, male means to fill, charav means destroyed. In other words, to say, if this one is full, this one has to be destroyed. And if this one is full, the other one has to be destroyed. Imala hacharava. I'm filled, there's filling and there's destruction. That's what the Talmud says. And what does that mean? Okay. So the commentaries explain that Caesarea is the representation of Rome. Okay. So Rome and Jerusalem are the personifications of the forces of evil and the forces of good. That's what in this world, who champions the forces of good is Jerusalem, and Rome champions the forces of evil. So there's a constant battle by the very nature of what they are. So therefore, in all battles, whenever you have a battle, you never come out with two winners. You never come out with two losers. Rather, one is stronger and one overpowers the other. So it is the same thing. If you're going to have what the Talmud is telling us is that the world is really like a vessel into which something has to go into this vessel. Now, hopefully, it's a world in which Kedusha comes into the vessel. Holiness comes into the vessel. But if a person does averus and mistakes in life, what happens is those marks that you make in the celestial spheres, you destroy the ability, you ruin that ability for that holy energy to flow into that holy vessel called earth. And when you destroy the ability for holiness to go in, but the vessel is one that still must be filled. There's always got to be a constant flow. The question is, where is it coming from, right? So the vessel can't be filled with sources of holiness because they're knocked out of commission. So then something else has to come into the same place. That's the concept of Imola HaCharava. There's always this balance between the forces of purity and impurity. And one is always ruling. There's always got to be one element ruling. Just similar concept we said, whatever you do, it's either bringing God into the world or not into the world. Right? We say there's no such thing as a neutral activity. So the same thing, there's no such thing as one as all the forces just being neutral. Something's got to be going. So if you get the holiness to flow, then the impurity doesn't flow. And if the holiness can't flow because of the actions that you've done, and it's a weakened force, then the forces of negativity become the dominant ones and stronger, then they're able to come inside. All right? So that's the idea over here. So there's always something flowing over here. So the same thing, you know, there are sources of greatness up in the spheres. You can ruin them, and you can mischannel them so that now evil is flowing out. All right? And you'll cause all this evil to be in the world. Okay. I'm saving the better explanation until we finish the small print, because I'm sure there's some questions over here. So we'll just hold on to that. But that's the idea he's saying. And therefore, if you do something wrong, instead of goodness being strengthened, it gets misdirected for evil. Let's go on inside the main text. Who make, and therefore, what do you do when you do an avera? Who make him umagbir kochos vecheli hatuma vaklipus. You sustain and make stronger, you reinforce the forces of impurity and the klipos, the shells. Remember the Parsha class we had a while ago. Those shells, right? Harachem Yisbarach Shmo Yetzlein, Hashem should save us from this. So the idea of the shell, right, is a mystical term, but it's a very simple idea to understand. A shell usually covers up something that's productive, right? A shell doesn't have to be a shell, any kind of covering. Let's say you have an orange. In order, you got the fruit, got the seeds, the fruit, and you got the peel on top. Right, a peanut. It's got the nut inside and the shell on the outside. Obviously, what's of value? That which is inside. That which is on the outside really has very little value. The idea is the good energy, or to make it simple for us to understand this at all, in human terms, right? You can have a good quality of love. Okay? That's like the seed. That's the fruit. Okay? That's the good stuff. That's what you want, love. Let's put it this way. You have a force called love. Okay? That force called love can be directed in a proper direction, and it's called gemilas chesed, acts of kindness. That's the fruit of this seed of love. Okay? But what you could also do is you could take this idea of love and distort it. Misdirected. And you can say, yes, love is a very good thing, and I'm going to start with me. I love myself. And therefore, everything in the world and I decide on is based on the love I have for myself. And therefore, I can do all kinds of things because I love myself so much. You can misdirect that love into an illicit relationship. Okay? And that's the shell. That's the garbage. You've made garbage out of that seed. And you're applying that to your life, right? That we can understand in human terms. So the same thing, the truth is, anything that's negative really has no existence. There's no such thing as negative. Negative is the absence of positive and misdirection of positive. And that's what you create with your averus in the heavenly realms. So what we can understand, at least in physical activities, is up in the heavenly realms, you're doing the same, God's got all these energies, you're distorting them now. You're like, you know, as if you're crossing the wires. All right? You're shorting the circuit. You're taking the energy, but you're putting it in the wrong place. And it's going to find itself in the worst places. That's what you are now creating. So that's where you're going to sit. In the misdirection over there. All right? That's the best I can explain it for what we need to know over here. Okay? Good. So that's what God says. God forbid that we shouldn't get involved. That's what happens every time you do an aveira. Let's go ahead now. Umisham, and from these negative spiritual roots that you've made these misdirected roots, because you see you're affecting the very roots. Can you imagine if you're damaging the core of an electric plant? What's going to happen if you short the circuit? What's going to happen? What happens if you short the circuit in your house?
No
electricity. It burns up. No electricity is the best thing. You burn your house down. Mm. Look, electricity, is it good or bad electricity?
Good.
Neutral. Oh, so it could be very good, right? Could be excellent, right? If you know exactly how to make the wires in the right direction, you have light all over your house. Cross the wires in the wrong way, you burn up the house. That's what you're doing. In a heavenly sense, you're crossing the wires. And you're bringing this destruction instead of creativity that's coming. So that's what you're going to sit in. That's what you're going to see. Umisham, but we didn't get to that part yet. Umish, next paragraph. Umisham, and from those spiritual roots, mamshich gamal atzmo ruach hatuma. You attract upon yourself this negative atmosphere. Shemelapafto, that envelops the person. Ve'es asiyas ha'avon, at the time that you're doing the avera. It envelops around you. And okay. Ve'achar asoso, and when you finish doing it, so what happens? Haruach tuma mistalek limkomo, the impure force goes back to its place. Ve'hu b'chayav, and you in your life, ve'gehinom mamesh, when you're doing the avera, you are in gehinom. Hamakifo, that surrounds you, ve'es asiyas hachet, at the time when you are doing the avera, you're mamesh in gehinom. Rak, except, she'eno margish adayin ad acher p'tiroso, you don't feel it yet. You're not sensitive to the fact that this is what you're doing to yourself. Aracha p'tiroso, until after you die, shenil kados bereshes asher heichin, then you're trapped in the net, in the trap which you prepared yourself, which are en kochos atuma v'amazikim shenivru mimaisav. These are all the forces of impurity and all the destructive forces that were created from all your actions. So what Rav Chaim is saying is we don't have the sensitivity to see or feel these things while we are still in our bodies. We don't have the ability to see or feel these forces of negativity or purity that we create. But the moment after you die, the soul and the body split, and the soul becomes acutely sensitive to all those spheres that it has created. Okay? So that's the problem that we have over here. Yeah?
But we don't do just bad things. I mean, we do good things.
Well, he talked about all the good things last week.
No, but here he just says, he talks about the negative part now. He differentiates, Then what's happening, actually, it's sort of like a mathematical equation. And when you die, when a person dies, it depends where you are, towards the good or towards the bad.
He's going to explain. Let's go a little further. He'll explain. We talked about it last week. He's going to explain it.
And he covers tshuva as a third.
He's going to talk about it. He really does a good job, Rav Chaim. If we give him enough time to say what he wants to say, we'll be okay.
The impure forces return to the source.
Louder, please.
The impure forces return to the source. He said that.
That's what he says.
What do you mean by that?
Well, the source of how they were created. In other words, the source that's been distorted. The source is really the source of goodness. But you've crossed the wires, and now you've affected the source in a very negative way. And up in the highest source, it's a negative. Yeah, it's a negative. Already, when you thought to do this sin, when you did this sin, you already crossed the wires up there. Now you're burning that spiritual level there. And it's becoming a negative place because of the distortion. So now you go back and be there.
But the force itself is having...
Oh, we'll talk, just hold on. Just wait a couple more paragraphs. Who's going to answer all these questions?
You mentioned earlier that you're not held accountable for the inspiration for your sin, whereas you are for your...
So I mentioned there were two opinions on this. I've heard two interpretations on it, so I'm not going to tell you. You know, okay. Maybe I jumped the gun on your question. Yeah, okay. In other words, when does the evil start... what pushes you out? Is it just the thought or is it the action? It's questionable exactly. From the wording, it seems when you do it. But by the mitzvah, it was clearly from the thought. There's no doubt about it. It would appear from the wording it's when you do it and not when you think the evil. But I've heard two interpretations on it. So now look in the fine print, and this is where a lot of questions get answered now. Amnam, but don't lose heart. Meruba mida tova. There's an expression here. God's attributes of goodness are greater than his attributes of doing things that are not good for us. Behefresh v'yisrnav, and in great ways. Ki hatzachtzachos v'tosefes kedushat shenis vasvu mimasva tovim. This splendor and an increase from your good actions. Heim nitzchiyim. They are eternal. V'kayomim la'olam, and exist forever. V'nafsho misadein bohem tanugi nitzchi, and the soul misadein takes pleasure in them, an eternal pleasure. For every mitzvah you do, the Olam Haba, the Gan Eden, the Garden of Pleasure, is eternal. Right? It's, we're in. You're going out of the world of Asiya. The fourth world that we're in, the world of Asiya, is bound by the laws of physics. You go to transcendental worlds, right? They're not bound by the laws of physics. And one of those laws is good. We know that all goodness is a derivation of God. That we know. So Hashem is good. The goodness comes from Him. So if Hashem is eternal, then all goodness, which is a direct derivative from God, also has to be eternal.
And the eternal ends at the resurrection.
Okay, well, whatever that, again, we don't know what the definitions of eternal are. Okay, I don't want to get into resurrection. I know that's a famous question. You know, how eternal can it be if Mashiach comes? Right? Okay, so that it's part of the process. I mean, it goes on. You come back, and then it's post-Mashiach. Okay, I don't have an exact answer. I don't think we've got the tools to give an exact answer. I mean, how do you define eternal when you're in another type of world? You know, what 100 years? You've got the laws of relativity that we... Right? What?
Only God could define that.
I'm saying 100 years here, 100 years here, up there can be an infinite. There's no time.
After Zacchaeus and Mason,
it will seem like forever.
To us. For us, in our turn.
For us, it feels like forever. Even though it might say, well, he died. Well, the guy dies a day before Mashiach comes. He doesn't experience that eternally. You know?
After Zacchaeus and Mason, are there supposed to be people who were alive before that point? So that means a mix now of people who were alive and people who were resurrected?
It appears so, unless I think some people say everybody dies. I think some people say everybody dies and then comes right back up.
And everybody, the people who come back, that they go through the whole process again of, supposed to go through the whole process of free will and sin and so on?
Yes, but the people who come back are on the level of Adam before the sin, and don't make the mistake. And don't make the mistake. God will only bring back those that He knows their free will choices will be not to make that mistake.
Okay. Then it's not everybody.
Then it's not free will.
It's not everybody, but it's a lot of people. Not everybody gets resurrected. But listen, you know, but you're still in Olam Haba. So, not everybody. It's a bad news. We don't tell that to everybody. Okay. Truth is, there's different opinions. There's some opinions that says some opinions say every Jew has a chilek l'olam haba. They interpret that as the resurrection. It's not Rambam's interpretation, I believe, but there's others who say it's the resurrection. So there's those who say that everybody does it. It's an argument. Okay, it's not worth, we just don't know what's gonna happen. There's too many different opinions here. You read certain works to tell you one thing, certain works tell you another. Okay, but as the great scholar said, it doesn't make a difference. It's not going to help your devotion to God today if it's going to be this way or that way. It isn't going to make a difference. But anyway, there is this concept of the world of souls. There is a concept. This everybody agrees to. Okay, the time frames and the orders. That's where. But you have this all about, and it is eternal. Okay, next page. Avala kochas hatuma. But the forces of impurity, v'hamazikinim, of destruction, shenivru v'nisrabu mechatov, that are created and increased from sin, achar kibul kol ha'onesh ha'niktzav lo, when the person receives the whole punish he's supposed to get, he'mesim v'choli me'aleihem, the forces of evil self-destruct. They don't live on forever. And he explains why. This answers all your questions. Ki atzmus chiyusam, the essential life force of evil, who rak mipkam hachet, only comes because of the blemish of sin, the haris and the destruction, shigaram b'chochos v'alamas hakadoshim, that was caused in the worlds and the realms of holiness. Only with the absence of holiness, then comes evil. Shemizeh, from the absence of holiness, nimshach lahem shefa chiyos v'nitzotze or muat derech tzinaros orchos akalkalos. That once you've damaged the spiritual pipes, so to speak, So once there's a crack in the pipes, or you've minimized what can come out, right? Or you're going on a crooked path, uses all kinds of descriptions, so now it's coming out in the wrong way. If you damage the good pipe, it comes out the wrong way, and it misdirected. Inyan, like we've said, imala hacharava. It's got to fill. The flow's got to go. It's going to go positive or negative. So, in other words, it's the absence. Evil is the absence of good. Okay, the cave and shekibal dina al yadayim. Once the guy gets his punishment from this, so he quotes a verse: chel bolav ekiyehu. The force is swallowed up and then spit him out. And then the whole life force of the evil automatically self-destructs. That's why they call Gehenna Aluka. Gehenna is called like a leech. What do we know about a leech? Aluka, Motsetzes Hadamei Aroim. What do you do with leeches? You put a leech on a person, right? It takes out all the bad blood, so to speak. And then what happens to the leech? Then it dies. That's the idea of Gehenna. Right? That's the concept of it. It's like the leech. The leech sucks it all out and then it just dies. Okay? So what's going on over here? So it appears like this. When we talk about, there's two concepts in Judaism. One is called Ha'aras Panim, when Hashem shines His face, so to speak, His light, His countenance towards us, and Hester upon Him, when God hides His face. The idea, these are mystical terms, but when He shows His face, that's a concept of forever. When God is doing something good, it's forever. Okay? The hiding of His face, that's the source of evil, it's temporary. It's never meant, the face is there, it's just hiding it. Okay? Good, this is a fundamental Jewish philosophy. Good is reality. It comes from God. The hiding of the face is the evil that appears as a result of the absence of that reality. And therefore the hiding of God's face, of holiness, is all evil. But the point is, it was never meant to be. Evil is not an alternative reality. Okay, that's what we've got to understand. Evil itself is nothing. It's not, there's two realities. Like, there's a good reality, there's a bad reality. You have a good spouse or a bad spouse. Well, that's not the way it works. In other words, there's good, and then there's the absence of good.
It's a distortion, or whatever you want to say.
Right? But it doesn't, it's like darkness. Darkness has no reality. All I got to do, if I put on a light, I have light. Right? I have a light. Because there's no sun shining. Put the sun to shine, it's the dark isn't an entity. It's the lack of light. It's the lack of light. It's a lack of light. Once the sun comes up, boom. I put on one candle. There's no darkness anymore. What happened to that? Why can't the darkness smother the light? Can the darkness smother? I'll take 20 tons of darkness and smother the light.
If there's enough people, it'll suck in all the light.
Not if it's pure light. Pure light. Light could dispel all that darkness. It means to say darkness is nothing.
According to reality as we're in it.
It's a perceived reality. And you think it's you know, your little kids, dark, spooky, filled with goblins and humans. But there's nothing there. It's your imagination. Just put on a little light and you see there's nothing there.
So then light has energy.
Same idea. It's nothing there. It's not a force. It's not like what happened in Egypt, where the last 3 days there was a different type of darkness. That was a creation. It's like a thick darkness. Okay, that was different.
So is it also true that the mitzvahs that we do that unite the worlds, that as opposed to the evil that doesn't unite the worlds. The worlds are therefore uniting over time because our mitzvahs.
Okay, there's obviously got to be multi levels because there's positive things happening and negative things happening. So therefore, you'll see probably a mixture. That's where you're going to see lots of good and evil.
What I was groping for was
at the same time, you'll see lots of good and lots of evil simultaneously. That's why you're seeing wonderful things happening to certain people and at the same time terrible things happening.
The good is going to outlast the evil.
Yeah, well, that's the fundamental belief. That's the fundamental, because the good is always sticking around. The evil has its temporary flare-ups, but it eventually gets sucked out.
Well, that's why it has to happen.
That's one of the 13 principles of faith. Mashiach has to happen because good has to win, because that's God's representation over here. Okay.
You say when the forces of evil are created, the sins they self-destruct. Is that upon punishment of that individual?
Yeah. So I'm going to explain. I'm about to explain that point. Okay. So another example of this idea of goodness with last week's parsha. When Moshe was born, they said Vatera, they saw Kitov. He was good. Right. What does it say? The house was filled with light when he was born. Okay. And we know there's different mystical attributes. Moshe's mystical attribute is called Netzach, which is called eternity. So again, the connection of good to eternity. Also, we say before we bring in the Torah, before Yitzchayim, he ki lekach tov nasati lechem, a good lekach, a good merchandise I've given to you. That's a reference to Torah. Torah is called good. And what do we know about Torah? Another principle of faith. The Torah can never change forever. The Torah is forever.